Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
To get discouraged in the wait. And there were times that I'm sure Abram got discouraged. How do I know? Well, his wife Sarah says, well, listen, Abram, at about the 11-year point, he say, well, she said, won't you take my slave Hagar, let her be your wife, sleep with her, have a child. And guess what takes place? Ishmael is born. See, along the way, if we're not careful, we'll make mistakes that we have to pay for later because we don't trust God in the process. God gives a promise, but we have our own timeline. But how many of you know our timeline is not necessarily God's timeline? When we say we trust God, what we're saying is, God, I trust you when I asked you, and I trust you until the fulfillment comes. And we're going to find out this is what Abram did. Because in chapter 21, starting at verse number 1, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. In chapter 12, how old was Abraham? And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. So Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time, everybody say set time. As long as the earth remains, there shall be seed time and harvest. Your prayer could have been the seed. The answer is the harvest. But there is a set time. Don't stop trusting God. Trust God in the beginning. Trust God as you're going through. And trust God that he's going to bring it to fruition. At the set time of which God has spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Watch verse 5. And Abraham was how old? Some of y'all got your Bibles. How old was Abraham? And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. God gives him the promise at 75. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to curse those that curse you. I'm going to do signs, wonders, miracles in your life. But he doesn't say, Abraham, it's going to be 25 years before you see this. You know what really builds maturity and faith? Trusting God on the opposite side of our feelings. Because it's easy to say, Lord, I trust you. And then we start feeling a certain way. I feel like you're not there. Anybody ever cried to the Lord before? And said, God, but your word said, God, why is this taking place? But the challenge is, don't get into unbelief in your tears. Don't go creating your own outcome while you're waiting. See, that's what Abraham did. And then Sarah, his wife, got mad at him, saying, you the one done this. Hold up now, Sarah, You told me to take this woman. But as I looked at the text, I guess she was saying, yeah, but you the leader. If you was going to take her, you should have made sure she didn't treat me bad after she got pregnant. So the woman, Hagar, ended up getting put out the house with her son. And God allowed for this. But had they just trusted and waited on God? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Just like in the clip. We didn't see the whole clip. It's a PG movie. You can watch it or not watch it. It's a movie called National Treasury. But they had the Constitution in that little tube. And what he was saying was, do you trust me? Because I'm going to let you fall. But I need to hold on to this constitution. God is saying the same thing today. Even though you don't see the manifestation yet, even though it's taking longer than you might think it should take, do you trust me? Just because something's delayed, y'all know the saying, doesn't mean it's denied. There may be some pieces to the puzzle. There may be some maturity. There may be some things that God is doing in our life in the process greater than what we asked for. Because, see, God has an eternal perspective when our perspective is limited. So he says, I can get the best investment out of this time that you're waiting. Not only will you get the answer to the prayer, but out of this, I'll get a mature child. I'll get some folks saved along the way. I'll get a testimony along the way. All because we trusted him. How? With all of our heart. See, it's our own understanding that gets us in trouble. We're saying, well, God, now, if I'm trusting you and your word says this, why this and why that? He says, trust me with all your heart. Not in your mind. How many know our mind changes? Not in our emotions, because our feelings change. But our heart and our innermost being, trust him with, trust me. You trusted him for salvation. Is the same word for salvation, the same principle of salvation also in the scripture for everything else that God promises? If we can trust him for salvation, how many know we have to trust him for everything else? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? So 25 years later, Abraham does not get an A+. He probably gets a B-, but he still passed the time test. The question today is, can you pass the time test? Will you become impatient and do something else? Will I become impatient and do something else? We have to trust God through impatience. He's still working. Just stay in faith. Continue to believe God. Trust God with all of your heart. Don't lean to how you've been thinking and what other people who don't believe are saying. See, I know in my life I had to be careful who I listen to, careful who I'm around. If I'm around certain people, and I'm not talking about any of you guys so much, but, you know, people around people all the time. And sometimes the people that can hurt you the most are the people that are influential in your life. The people that you listen to. The people that you respect. Amen. I can't hang around all pastors. We might come together, but I come in understanding that my job is to love them, honor them, and move on sometime. Because I know we're not in agreement on everything. Don't mean I can't love them. Don't mean we can't hang out. But I can't indulge in something that's not moving in the same level of faith that I'm moving in, or something that's contrary to who I know I am in God. Because I want you to know that people's limitations on their own life can limit you if you're not careful. Because they only feel like they can go so far. They'll make sure you know that you're only going so far. Let me tell you this morning, I want to release you in the spirit. The sky is the limit according to your faith. Let nobody limit your faith. If you can believe it, it's possible for you. Scripture says, all things are possible to him that can believe. Don't you shrink back on your faith. If you can believe it, and I'll add this, and God has said it, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And you need to make it a habit of either being by yourself or hanging out with people that's moving in that same mindset. Because if not, you'll find yourself going farther and farther back into unbelief, lack of trust, and the world. And the world gonna welcome you back. Come on back. Get on in this bondage. Tell somebody, I'm a believer. I believe God. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. And I know that you're directing my path. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. What about when it seems impossible? Anybody ever thought? Now, I'm not talking about you had your faith cap on, but you maybe start off in faith, but in your mind you say, this is impossible. Now, in this atmosphere of faith, that may be hard for you to think back to. You say, no, Pastor, I believe it all. I got you. But I'm talking about when you're in your house or you're on your job or you're stranded on the side of the road. Or, you know, that's impossible. It's impossible. I want you to know that he's still a God that works through impossibilities. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, what is your prayer life like? Let me tell you about a prayer life. A prayer life is something that you do consistently, very similar to breathing. It's something that you do consistently, very similar to breathing. Meaning that I have a lifestyle of prayer. How many of you know nobody has to tell themselves to breathe? You don't have to tell your heart to beat. These are natural blessings that God has given us. Saints, we should have a prayer life to where when we're not praying, something feels out of place. You want to know how you have a prayer life? A good sign is when you're not praying, you feel out of place, off kilter. You know, something's off. I don't know what's wrong. All I know is I have not prayed. And I want you to know that prayer life increases. A person that prays, watch this, it's like anything else in the human experience. The more we do it, the more we get accustomed to doing it, whatever it is. How many have ever experienced the more you eat, seem like you want to eat even more? The more you worry, you want to worry even more. The more you give, you start giving even more. I want to tell you, the more you pray, the more it becomes a lifestyle. And when your lifestyle or your prayer life diminishes, I want you to know that your carnal nature increases. You want to see a person that's got an attitude all the time, mad, angry, upset, frustrated, irritated, I guarantee you their prayer life is very diminished. But when you see somebody who's able to, you know, I'm going to walk in peace, I'm going to walk in love, I'm going to stay in faith, that's because they stand plugged into the power source of the Spirit of God through prayer. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to pray, you have to pray, you have to pray, you have to pray. Everything seems to be going wrong, pray. Everything seems to be, I take one step forward, I take, no, you need to pray. Because even just being in the presence of God, your mindset, the situation may not change tomorrow, but how you feel about the situation will change just because you're praying. After he had dismissed the crowd. See, we ought to pray together. But what are you doing at home when the crowd gone? When nobody's dressed up? When there's no amen, when there's no praise and worship music, when there's no church building, when the crowd is gone, is there a prayer life? Don't you know Jesus was God, but yet he had a prayer life? I need to say that again. Jesus was God. Even in that fleshly body, he was 100% man.
You're listening to Pastor Hilton Wells, pastor of Rivers of Living Water Church. If this message has been a blessing to you, we invite you to join us at one of our two locations, Thursday at 6:30 p.m. and Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Visit us at our 1711 Monroe Street, Alexandria location, or on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Visit us at our 720